Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Today's Bible reading comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 56. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her 6th month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfil his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. This is the word of the Lord.
Time for music. And I did laugh to see this little comment on a British stamp. Great to see Mary on keyboards and Joseph on vocals for a change. Rather gorgeous. I wonder if you've got a favourite Christmas carol. My house, "Away in a Manger" seems to be sung a lot and adapted. For me, I think it's all the Christmas carols that start with "O." "O Little Town of Bethlehem," "O Holy Night," "O Come Emmanuel," "O Come All Ye Faithful," thank you, yes, yes, yep, yep. I mean, the first two particularly, "O Little Town of Bethlehem" and "O Holy Night." Of course, you might have a secret favourite outside of church. It might be a little Mariah Carey. It might be a real crooner, you know, "Chestnuts roasting on an open fire." Could be that, could be that. Could be a little Justin Bieber. "Santa Claus is Coming to Town" with the refrain, if you haven't been lucky enough to hear it, "Shake it, shake it, baby." It's very Christmassy. If your favourite Christmas carol is Madonna's "Santa Baby," or perhaps "I Saw Mummy Kissing Santa Claus," come and talk to me afterwards. We'll pray with you and for you. But our reading today actually gives us one of the first most magical Christmas carols. But it might not be what you expect. When we think about Christmas and we think about the way that it inspires us and that every single... I was looking at pictures, but you weren't. Is that what was happening there? Okay, we saw the first one, but we didn't see Justin Bieber. What a shame. Oh, he was there. I did. So it's all right. So, they'll come up. We think about Christmas as something that is supposed to inspire us and lift us up. And we give each other presents wrapped in beautiful things and we put lights and shiny, shiny things everywhere. And we long to be lifted up. If you're a parent at this time of year, you know that it can be extremely busy and you wish that you had that chance to be lifted up yourself as you are trying to create moments for everybody else to be inspired. But in fact, the very first Christmas began with a really challenging encounter. During Advent, we've been looking at the way in which people have encountered God over the centuries. And I wanted to land here on our carol service because the encounter that Mary had with the angel Gabriel and through the angel with God was not as kind of pretty and serene as the cards might make out. And her song, the first Christmas carol, was maybe not as pretty and serene, shiny and magical as we might expect. So Mary, teenage girl, sitting in her home, quite a poor home, a Jewish home, in a place that was not ruled by Jewish leaders, but in fact they were in an occupied land. That meant that another nation had charge of where they lived. The Romans lived. The Romans were in charge of where Mary lived. And she is pledged to be or promised to be married to a man named Joseph, but she's not married yet. And yet, an angel comes to her and says, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you." Now we must know that she does not move from greetings to, "Yes, the Lord is going to do great things through me and to me." She says this, well, the passage says this, "Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be." The Bible wasn't written in English. The Bible was written in both Hebrew and Greek. And the New Testament, where we have this reading, has this word for "she wondered," which is dialogizomai. She logically thought through what was happening. This was not a moment for serene surrender. This was deeply troubling. And she thought very carefully about what was going on. Maybe when you think about Christmas time and you think about carol services and you think about coming to church, you think it's a place where I'll kind of just park my brain at the door, come in and enjoy the moment, pick it up again as I walk out. That's not Mary. Mary is encountering some troubling truths. And so she thinks very carefully. The angel says, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You'll conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." You remember that I just said that Mary was a Jewish lady. Well, the Jewish people had a history from the Old Testament that spoke about the promises of God And we've looked at the different encounters that people had as God promised them that he would bring them into a new land, that he would give them descendants, and in fact that he would one day make all things right through his promised king. Now, in centuries earlier, David had been this hope, King David. And so when Mary heard these words from the angel that there was something promised, he'd be the son of the Most High and he'd be sitting on David's throne, she knew this was an encounter with her that would transform history. Now, once again, she doesn't just say, okay. She says, how will this be? Because I'm not married and there's no way that a baby can be born from me at this time. And the angel says, God will do it. The Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Now, when you and I have spiritual experiences, it's common for humans to say, did I just eat too much cheese? Was that a weird dream? What? I can't trust my senses on that. That is so out of the ordinary. Was it just a shiver? Is something really going to happen? And God knows that. And God does not expect us to change our lives on a shiver. And he doesn't expect us to change our lives even on maybe a dream or a vision without proof from him that it is going to happen. And so she is told this big moment you're having with God is going to be confirmed because your cousin Elizabeth, who couldn't have a baby, is already 6 months pregnant. This is such huge, earth-shattering news that Mary is receiving that God is not leaving her to defend her own encounter with him, but instead he gives her this proof in her cousin. And so we don't get any Christmas carols from Mary until she goes to meet Elizabeth, her cousin, and sees that what the Lord has revealed in that moment is true. There's Elizabeth. You know, and she's older. And this was unexpected for her. And as soon as Mary comes to her, Elizabeth says, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Now Mary could enter into the promise that God had made to her. She'd been pondering it. She'd been troubled. She'd been thinking very carefully. But now, when Elizabeth says, girl, she didn't say that, no, but I just wanted to. This is of God what is happening here. You are going to be the mother of my Lord. I love this depiction of that encounter because the joy that is welling up in Elizabeth, I mean, she's already a very, very happy lady. But she, in her happiness, is just brought up to that next key change when she meets Mary. And so Mary can now sing this song. Kids, I wonder if anyone who remains in the auditorium can tell me, what does a magnifying glass do? Anyone? You can put your hand up and I'll listen carefully. I won't choose my own daughter just yet. Yes? Yeah. What does a magnifying glass do? It helps you see. Come on, tell me the rest of that sentence. Tiny writing. Excellent. Anyone else? Any other kids want to tell me what a magnifying glass does? I'll choose someone from the other family. Come on. You know, it's reverse discrimination. Yes. It makes things look bigger if things are hard to see. Absolutely. Any kids over this side want to tell me what you think a magnifying glass does? Yes. Maddie, do you know? What does a magnifying glass do, Zalia?
Makes things big.
All right. I think we've got 3 out of 3 there. So this song has been known as the Magnificat. And it is because that is the first word that Mary... What are we missing? No. That Mary said, if it was translated into Latin, my soul magnifies the Lord. If you're on social media, Instagram, Facebook or whatever, you get targeted ads, right? Do you get targeted ads? Well, I don't know if they're targeted all the time, but I am clearly a sucker because I'm like, ooh, that little gadget does look helpful for getting lint out of my clothes wash. If I put my iPhone behind this screen, I will be able to watch it big. I think I need one of these. This was like 2 days ago. I have bought things from Instagram ads, so clearly the whole thing is working. Well done. But this magnifying screen, I thought that's going to be too good. That sounds too good to be true. But the point was that something small, something that was hard to see, watching a movie on your phone, was going to be made big, clear, easy to see, and for so cheap. Mary says, my soul magnifies the Lord. It glorifies the Lord. It rejoices in God. It makes God as big as it can. When God's ways are hard to see, that is what my soul is going to do. It's going to show them for what they are. It's going to show the detail. It's going to make God's work big. It's going to help us to observe things that we couldn't see before. My soul is enabling the world to see God's work clearly, because he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. Now, down in that yellow, this is what God is doing. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. We are in a world that lifts up the rich, the powerful, and the proud. I wish it wasn't so, but we are led by and influenced by power, wealth, and pride. And yet you and I know that our world cannot go on with this sort of leadership and influence. We cannot survive. Our world cannot be sustained. Our societies cannot thrive if the final vote is always given to the rich, the powerful, and the proud. And the message of Christmas in Mary's song is that God's work is to lift up not the rich, the powerful, and the proud, but the humble and the hungry, those who need mercy, those who need help. They are the ones through whom God will lift up the world. And in fact, those who are living a self-sufficient, proud, wealthy, and powerful life need to be very careful indeed. Because God's ways are not the ways that our world lives in at the moment. We think about Christmas and we think, yes, it is about feeding the hungry. It is about giving gifts to those who are in need. But in fact, they are simply the outcomes, not the meaning. They're kind of the results of Christmas, if you like, but not the heart of Christmas itself. The heart of Christmas itself was described for us by a teenage girl who might have sounded a little bolshy, a little uppity, and yet here we have a number of them. There's Anne Frank, Joan of Arc, Greta Thunberg, a Jane Austen, and Malala Yousafzai. These girls stand in the tradition of Mary. And when Mary speaks of a magical Christmas where we are all inspired and lifted up to that next key change, it's because of this, the most unexpected thing of all. I don't know if you've seen lots of ads to tell you to have a magical Christmas. I have. My magazines from Coles or Woolworths tell me the things I can cook to have a magical Christmas. And Maya tells me the things I can wear to have a magical Christmas. But the magic of Christmas, that thing that makes me go, that thing that shocks and surprises and delights and transforms me, because that's what we mean by having a magical Christmas, right? Is the unexpected vulnerability of God, who will lift up the hungry and the poor and those in need of help and those who need mercy through becoming so vulnerable that he was a baby. Mary's song stood in a tradition of 2,000 years of waiting for something to be fulfilled to Abraham. And we now sit 2,000 years later saying, Jesus came, but it's not the end of the story. The baby born in the manger is not simply to be left there. The baby born in a manger is the most magical, unexpected, transforming gift that you could possibly have at Christmas, because it is the way in which God will turn the world upside down. That those who trust in God's goodness, those who long for God's ways and God's justice to be on the earth, those who will follow this baby right to the end and through to resurrection, experience that true lifting up forever. Now, as I said earlier in the service, we're going to take a moment to consider where we might need God to work in us. Maybe you feel like you're actually sitting in the self-sufficient, can do it all, I'm okay, thanks, moment. Maybe God's saying to you, open up. take a moment to say, actually, I might need to be one who is in need of help and mercy. Perhaps you are one that just says, I know it. I really need God's help. It is so clear to me. Maybe you just have a heavy heart because you've got loved ones that need a touch of God, who need care and a miracle. Well, during the singing of the next song, in which we meditate on what Mary really knew when she gave birth to Jesus, I'd like to encourage you, because there'll be some cards handed out, just to take a moment, and it can be totally anonymous, or you can put your name, or you can put your full details, to write out some things that you would like us to pray for. And as a staff team here, we are committed to doing that for you and to holding those requests before God in the coming weeks, and especially over the coming days if there are some things that are pertinent to Christmas and your Christmas celebrations.